and keep the safeties back, you could create all this space underneath. And I've just watched, you know, all of his catches here today, and it was one good design after another.
How much more potent will this offense be when they have an actual real home run threat in the running game? Because you talk about the play action, and you're right, but won't this be even better once they get Jerick McKinnon back?
Well, I don't think anybody schemes the run game better than Kyle Shanahan. Mike McDaniels, the run game coordinator, is a super bright guy. He's been with Kyle from Washington, Cleveland, Atlanta, followed him all the way through. I think they spend more time scheming in the run game than they do in the passing game. And so, to your point, I think it could be a lot more potent. I mean, Mike McGlinchey's playing great. The offensive line has struggled at times in different areas. But for the most part, between the play action, the run action, and the run designs that include the tight ends and wide receivers blocking, it has the potential to be really explosive.
Baldy, I'm a strong believer of all things being equal. Players make plays, but coaches help make decisions that help determine the outcome of the game. Jerry Rice is playing receiver, and you're playing one-on-one. If you do that, Jerry Rice is usually going to win. If you don't put a safety over the top or bracket him in his prime, he's going to make plays that's going to, you know, determine the outcome of the game. So how much is coaching? When you saw Philip Lindsay, you saw what the Niners were able to do and say, the week before, he single-handedly, Dorner beat the Pittsburgh Steelers, able to run the ball, physical. This guy's running the ball. He's tough. The Niners, I thought that was their best tackling game of the year. Seemed like there was a constant effort to shut him down. And then you looked at the Niners, on the other hand. Vance Joseph, you look at the player that's going to make plays, if all things being equal, but the coach got to make a decision. Kittle. What was the different dynamic when you're just talking about from a coaching standpoint, who had the advantage, and why was one team able to focus on the main thing that drove that team compared to the other?
Well, I think it goes back, Lo. I mean, you did mention the part about, you know, scheme and design does play a part where it gets your players open. So, I mean, even the touchdown to Dante Pettis, I mean, that's just a player with elite quickness beating a rookie corner. And the separation was instant. And you can see the quickness in Dante Pettis on that one-yard touchdown catch. To take Philip Lindsay out of the game, be honest with you, Lo, I never thought that was going to happen. Not against this 49ers team, not this week, not the way that kid was averaging 6 yards a carry, Lo, through 12 games. And he was crushing it. I mean, and it wasn't just speed. The guy knows how to run the ball. I mean, he's patient. He knows when to explode. And they had been those three wins they had in a row. He was the ignition switch. And to see them take him out of the game last week, that's the best I've seen the 49ers play defense, run defense in 2 years.
Wow. That's high praise right
there. I'm telling you, he's watching the same game that I'm watching. All right. And Baldy, to follow up on that, everyone's talking about the NFL. That it's just new age offense, that the scoring and watching Patty Mahomes throw the ball from every angle. It's amazing. But you saw the Ravens play a little defense. You saw 2 weeks ago, you saw the Dallas Cowboys sit there and play stiff defense against Drew Brees. The other night, you saw here comes the Rams in Chicago.
Yep.
In December and November and December and January, is it not, if you got to sit there and play basketball on the grass on a consistent basis, do you think you win? Do you think all these juggernaut teams are winning a Super Bowl? Or now do you see if they're not able to run the ball with some consistency like the Seattles, like the Chicagos, those teams that are physical, do you see now that there could be this Super Bowl could be go anywhere? Is it still a three-man race?
No. No, I'm with you, Lo. I mean, I did that Chief-Raven game on Sunday. I mean, they hit Patrick Mahomes 15 times in that game. I mean, you can talk about the kid's arm, and it's sensational. The kid is tougher than East Texas shoe leather. I mean, you can't – the guy just gets up and dusts himself off, and I don't care if it was Terrell Suggs or Za'Darius, you know, Smith or whoever was hitting him. I mean, they hit the heck out of that kid. He's just tough. And for 58 minutes, they held the highest-scoring offense in the league to 17 points. So you watch what the Bears did to Jared Goff on Sunday night. I mean, I saw Brian Urlacher in the airport in Kansas City leaving the game, and he was like, this football sucks. I hate watching this stuff. I go, well, you watch those Bears tonight, Brian. You're going to be happy about it. I think some of us just want to see some good defense. I mean, the Cowboys shut out the Eagles for almost three quarters the other night. There's some great defense being played, and it's going to be a factor when you get to the postseason this year. I don't think we're going to see a 54-51 postseason game. That stuff, I mean, it's great in regular season. It's great for ratings, and it's great for fantasy league players. But I think when you get to the postseason this year, you'll be able to run it, stop the run, and you better be able to defend the red zone. And that's what it's going to come down to.
Amen, brother. I think a lot of people are hoping that we get back to some old-fashioned football. Brian Baldinger joining us, 95.7 The Game. This is going to be a great week for us here at 95.7 The Game because Baldy's coming to town. He's going to do this 49ers Seahawks game on Compass. So he's got that side. So he's in town early. He's going to join Damon on Friday from 3 until 5:30. So everyone get your breakdown questions
ready.
Oh,
it's going to be awesome.
Baldy's going to be bringing the A game. So I want to ask you, Brian, about the 49ers. If I look at the Rams a couple of years back, they went from a not-so-good team and quickly made a turnaround when they brought an offensive-minded head coach and they had their quarterback. The Bears this year, they hadn't been so good. Offensive-minded guy, they think they have their quarterback. They put some weapons around him, and they've made a quick jump into a very significant team. How close are the 49ers to maybe having that formula with money to spend in the offseason, and if they surround Garoppolo, if he's healthy, they can maybe be a team that makes a leap?
Well, I think they can. They have to do one thing above everything else. They have to take care of the football. I mean, it's the single biggest problem that they've had. Now, last week, they had just had the one interception. They didn't put the ball on the ground. They didn't have a punt. You know, they didn't drop a punt. I mean, they didn't do all the things. They didn't, you know, the punter didn't drop the ball. I mean, they caught the ball, and they didn't put it on the ground last week. And that's been their biggest issue all year. I've never seen a team as careless with the football as the 49ers have been most of the year. Now, they did put it on the ground three more times. They didn't lose any last week. But if they take care of the football better and treat it like a bar of gold that it is, then I think the 49ers have a chance to be one of those teams that can turn it around in a big way. I mean, like a 5 or 6 game difference in wins and losses.
Man, that's huge. In the National Football League, that is huge. Baldy, we always appreciate the breakdowns. Thank you so much, and we're looking forward to Friday when you're in here with Damon.
Can't wait, Baldy.
That's going to be a great time.
No, I'm bringing my football computer. We're going to hook it up to a big screen TV. Oh. We're going to do some X's and O's. We're going to see some real football. We'll translate it on the air. I can't wait to get to San Francisco to see you guys.
I can't wait, Baldy. Baldy knows X's and O's. Let's get crazy, Baldy. Let's get crazy.
And everybody go to @BaldyNFL. He's got a breakdown of Derek Carr and what he was doing. It's phenomenal. I was going to ask you about it, but I'm just going to have everyone go to your Twitter page, Brian, and they can break it down that way. Thanks, man. We'll see you on Friday when you get to town.
Okay, guys. You got it, man. Thanks.
The great Brian Baldinger. He's coming in on Friday for 2.5 hours with Damon Bruce. You know what's coming up next?
What?
We're going to have ourselves some fun because we have got the Hawaii contest coming.
Ooh.
I'm going to be naming a name. I'm naming names, and we got someone who could potentially qualify. Dibs, are you a Twitter at this?
I'm thrilled, Jim.
I can see it. More breakdown coming, more NBA, more Golden State Warriors.
Can I get you to tease?
Tease it all, Jim.
I'm going to tease it down. Break it down now. You want to tease?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Guys, listen at this. I got a tease for you.
Downey.
6 games, 280 yards. 6 games, 640. Who is that player?
Oh, now that's a tease on Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
It's the season of giving. And what's better than winning VIP tickets to see the Warriors take on LeBron James and the Lakers on Christmas Day? It's the holiday gift grab on 95.7 The Game. All this week, tune in at 8:20 a.m. and 4:20 p.m. for the Holiday Sounder. Ho, ho, ho! Then, call in for your chance to win tickets, gift cards, and more from our holiday gift bag. Plus, all winners qualify for VIP tickets to see the Dubs and Lakers on Christmas. Happy holidays from 95.7 The Game. Joe Lo and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Back to 95.7 The Game. I'm your boy, Lo Neal, here with Jim Cozumore and the one and only Dan Dibley.
Is this where we say welcome to the money spot?
Whoa. Do it. Run that material in Ford and
Bob. I call it the power hour, actually, because it is a power hour. I'm at the gym usually listening to the power hour, and I'm a big fan of it here at 95.7.
You throw a weight around, Jim? You pushing plates?
I'm pushing some plates.
Push them, baby.
They
push
might
them
be
real
they
good.
Might be lifesavers, but they're plates.
Well, big arm Friday.
You know, exactly.
Nice, Daniel.
Thirsty Hill Thursday is coming up.
Thursday? I would love that day.
Today was a Too Sweaty Tuesday, as evidenced by his shirt change at 6:15.
Yeah, he had me touch the sweaty shirt. He was telling me he wants me to come in a little early. He and I can get a half hour sweat in.
Yeah, I did. I told him, you know, get here around, you know, 4:50. It's a 10-minute jog to the gym. Opens. We get 30 minutes really hard. I go really, really hard, Daniel. Hard. And I do it nonstop. I give you 30 minutes of everything that I got. Pounding really, really hard. Pounding those other, the weights really, really hard. And I can barely breathe. I just freaking go. And I give her everything she's got. And then I come back sweating, tired, but energized, invigorated.
We like it when you take your shirt off in the studio.
Is that you're using the royal we there? Because I'll speak for myself when it comes to a shirtless low Neil. I believe earlier you came out and I said, is it hot in there? And you said, why? I said, because you're melting.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, and I started to blush. I got a blush dozer.
All righty, let's get things rolling. Joe Lowen Dibs, I am Jim Cosmore in for Joe Fortenbaugh. That's why it's getting off the rails quite quickly in the power hour here. Dan Dibley, Low is here. You've got Anna Kakarakis is in the table as well. And we're ready to roll. This is the power hour, so we got to get it going.
Yeah, we do.
We were just having an argument, and we'll get to it in a second, but it's 7:20. You know what it's time for us to do, Dibs?
Hawaii.
That's right, baby. Give me some aloha. Give me some aloha music. Come on, nice guy. Nice guy Steve is not even listening.
You are so
shouldn't we have some
today.
Ukulele music going on right now?
Wow.
I know. But properly pronounced, by the way.
Of course. Of course. Because you say ukulele, so that has to be ukulele.
Yeah, can you guys give him the music? Or are you just not buttoned up back there?
Because we're about to give somebody a chance to contact us in 9 minutes and 57 seconds.
Oh, you're not satisfied with the music. So you don't prep them. They hurry last minute to produce, and you're still not happy.
Yes.
It's a window into the soul of one James D. Cosmore.
Can you name the state fish of Hawaii, Coz?
The
Huma Huma Nuka Nuka Apua'a.
Probably could have done without that.
Wow. Nice, though. Whatever that was.
Are we going to go
like
to...
this is like country Hawaiian, is
Mount
what
Mount Wanahakalugi?
Is.
Are we going to go to the Finding Nemo material?
It's time for the 95.7 The Game and Alaska Airlines Hawaii for the Holidays Flyaway Contest. We're sending one listener and three guests on a dream vacation this holiday season, courtesy of Alaska Airlines, with nonstop flights from the Bay Area to Hawaii. If you haven't already, register now for your chance to qualify at 957thegame.com. My family and I always use Alaska Airlines when we fly to Hawaii. We go at least once a year. My wife was raised on the island of Oahu. Today's qualifier, who will have 9 minutes and 57 seconds. Kevin Maestas. Kevin Maestas from San Pablo.
Not your Estes.
Maestas.
Thank you.
Almost sounds like former Giants great Sean Estes.
Right.
But this is Kevin. Who's Estes?
It's Maestas, James.
It is Maestas. From San Pablo. And, I'll tell you. Kevin, not Anthony, because they said his name is Anthony. Kevin, you have 9 minutes and 57 seconds to call the contest line. Here's the number. 415-402-6865. 415-402-6865. If you don't call us back, we're going to pick another name, and we're going to announce that name.
Wow.
9:57. You have 9 minutes and 57 seconds. Kevin Maestas, if you're listening, call us.
Not a lot of people that has qualified yet, so it's only three. So
yes.
your odds are very, very good with this. And Dibs, tell me if this is wrong and out of line. Someone on the text line, you know what, from the 510 said, Low, when he's working out, he's thinking of Queen James. Now is that wrong? Is that for people to say something like that?
Which part is wrong? Calling him Queen James or saying that you're thinking about him?
Both. Especially, I'm thinking, come on.
It's a twofer?
Well, first of all, the fact that he refers to himself as the king is narcissistic in and of itself, because I don't believe he's of royal blood or the king of anything, really. So we'll put that aside for the moment. Only you can answer whether or not you actually think about him while you work out. So I don't know if it's wrong or if it's out of line. It feels in line.
Does it really?
I'm not sure if it's wrong or not. Yeah, it feels actually great.
What if he's on TV? You know, are you watching him? Are you then thinking about him then?
No. Of course, I'm working out. I'm thinking about getting bigger and stronger. Hard, you know, making my muscles hard. So, no, I'm not. Very weird.
Has Kevin called yet?
Nice, Coach.
We were just talking about the Monday Night Football game.
Oh, my God.
All righty. And you guys have some odd take here. By the way, I had the Seattle defense on my fantasy team, so I rolled last night. But
I was just going to ask you how you're... No, I wasn't.
You guys had an
not
unusual
one person
take
out there gives
from
one
that game.
Crap.
The guy I was playing does. Your thoughts on... What was your take on that game?
Kirk Cousins?
Yeah.
He's not very good, Jim.
Well, you guys are pretty adamant at how... What did you call him?
He's a bum.
What?
He's a bum.
He's not a bum.
He's not a very good quarterback. I'm sure he's a great father, nice guy. He does tremendous things for the community, sure.
Michigan State guy like me.
Great. Oh, I didn't know you were Sparty.
Yeah.
That explains a lot.
I'll be going to the Red Box Bowl.
Who are they playing?
Oregon.
Oh, that's right. That's when 2 6-6 teams get together, throw the records out. Please throw the records out, somebody.
For you to say Kirk Cousins is good quarterback.
No. I said he's not a bum.
He's a bum.
Why is he a bum?
He got 80-some million, $84
Stop
million
right
dollars
there.
Guaranteed.
Stop
okay?
right there.
Stop
right Stop there.
Stop what you're doing because he's about to ruin.
Yeah, he's about to ruin.
And let's
the
not
image
forget,
and the style that you're used to.
Let's not forget the money he made with the Redskins. How much did he make with the Redskins?
Too much.
Why is it too much? Here's my issue.
What is your issue?
You call him a bum because someone threw money at him. Is it his fault that the Minnesota Vikings said, here's $64 million or $84 million, whatever it is?
Does it make it right? Does it make him not a bum?
It doesn't make him a bum. If someone overpays you, that doesn't mean you're the bum. It's like calling a player who's taken number one overall who's not very good, you're saying that guy's the failure. No. The team that picked him is the failure. Right?
No.
Kirk Cousins isn't the bum.
Both.
No.
You can be, I mean, two things can be equally true. Alex Smith was overdrafted. He was not worthy of being number one overall.
But I think he's been a very good NFL quarterback.
He's been okay.
He's been very good.
What's the signature victory for Alex Smith in his career, or the signature moment?
The signature victory is when he did the play. Remember, it was at Old Candlestick. He fakes the handoff, and it's the quarterback around the end, the keeper, that no one saw coming. That's his signature win, signature play.
Yeah, I'm
running down the sideline with his hand in the air.
If you look at Alex Smith's body of work, regular season,
should have been winning a Super Bowl. It should have been winning a Super Bowl, but go ahead.
Why wasn't it?
He should have been the starting quarterback then.
And he would have led them to that victory over Baltimore?
Mm-hmm. He would have gotten them that far and led them to victory.
This feels anti-Kaepernick to me, so we're just going to move off.
That's your inference? No.
No question. It's my feelings. It's just how it felt to me.
The team was exactly.
On the receiving end. We talked about the season
inference.
Of giving.
That's
it's also
inference.
The season of receiving.
That's your inference.
It felt to me less about Alex Smith,
more about
Colin Kaepernick.
That's not true, because I think Colin Kaepernick in his prime, there was nothing prettier than watching him dismantle the Green Bay Packers. What he did to them was phenomenal. He was a gazelle.
Yet Alex Smith should have started a quarterback in the Super Bowl.
You got me
tongue-tied and twisted right now.
You don't lose your job based on an injury. He lost his job based on an injury.
You do.
Okay.
I mean, he just lost his job in Washington due to injury. His career is over.
Nice.
He will not be the starting quarterback of Washington ever again.
He snapped his femur, though. What did they snap?
It's a tib fib.
It's a tib fib.
Classic tib
fib. Don't look at me. Keep going, Daniel.
That was compound.
Yes, and he has a staph infection related to it, reportedly, although based on the HIPAA laws, I'm not at liberty to describe.
To discuss those?
Yes, but the point is, he is a game manager. He's an okay quarterback, and Kirk Cousins is not much different. You look at his success rate against winning teams, and it's abysmal. His ability under the bright lights of Monday Night Football, he's winless, Jim. And put aside the fact that he's grotesquely overpaid.
That's not his
just,
fault.
I said put it aside. Put it aside.
He's just a guy.
He's not very good.
Let me ask you something.
He's got the top 10 defense in every friggin' category. Go look it up.
Look it up.
He's got the top 10 defense.
Duh. What part didn't you understand? Special third down.
The whole sentence. That's the part I didn't get. The whole sentence that you threw together.
Let me tell you something. Against the pass on third down, they rank in the top 5. Against the run, they rank in the top 10. So you're talking about having a defense that's dominant. Look at what they have on defense. And then look at the receivers that he have. He has good receivers.
Really good.
Really,
Diggs and Thielen are fantastic.
And the guy can't win. He hasn't won a game that means diddly poo. I mean, the guy is a hung.
Let me ask you a question.
4-24 all time against teams with a winning record.
Did you just look this up?
No, it's on the screen. Cody looked it up. Thank you, Cody.
0-7 on Monday Night Football. 5-13 career on prime time.
Thank you, Dion.
You think this guy, and this is your guy. Listen.
You're just like the mainstream media. You're not even following the story. If this guy, who was a fourth-round pick, if this guy gets paid like a fourth-round pick and ends up starting for your team because he has to start for your team, you don't say boo about the guy. Because some teams overpaid him, you're calling him a bum. He's not a bum.
Matthew Stafford is not, to me, I think that he's a better than him. You put Matthew Stafford, you put Mahomes, hell, you can put Colin Kaepernick. Hell, I can name you 15 quarterbacks that I can, 10 quarterbacks I can put on that team with that defense, with that much talent, and they're doing better. That's the only thing.
And ultimately, Jim, you are judged against your contract.
Yes, no,
you're
not.
Absolutely, you are.
You shouldn't be judged against your contract.
Well, should is one thing, but you are. Look at Jimmy Garoppolo. When Jimmy Garoppolo comes back,
he's a failure. He's a failure.
So far, it is a failure.
Okay.
Based on the body of work that he's been able to present, his inability or his lack of a desire to get out of bounds is what cost him his knee and it cost him his season. Right now, if you look at that contract and you measure it against what he's done, it's a failure. Now, next year when he comes back, the expectations are going to be higher because he's making so much money. And that's just the reality of the business.
Nick Mullins, 414 passing yards in Seattle. Kirk Cousins, 138. What was that laughter all about?
Because that's me and Dibs' point. We're just saying Kirk Cousins can't, he is, when you watch the guy play, you're like, wow, give me something. Last night he had Phelan wide open, and he decides to throw it to double coverage on the goal line. He was rattled. He did not look like a veteran quarterback. He's not winning games that he should be winning. He's not giving his team a chance. You held Seattle. Seattle doesn't do anything but run the ball. And you can't even manufacture a touchdown? Jim, for you to sit here and say with those type of weapons that he has and a halfway decent running game, and they can't, and he's supposed to be a guy that you give $84 million guaranteed, he's underachieving. And right now the Minnesota Vikings are looking at this and saying, wow, what did we give this guy this type of money?
That's right.
The quarterback position.
Minnesota has to look in the mirror.
They do.
Not Cousins.
Yes, because if he
Cousins wants, isn't giving up. Cousins isn't coming out there half-ass. He's playing hard. It's just not getting done.
It's because he's not very good. And he has this guaranteed contract, which is groundbreaking, and so he's loving it, basically. He's got two more seasons of getting paid no matter what, whether or not you go 6-6-1 again next year after 13 games or not. He's underachieving. He's got a guaranteed deal, so what does it really matter? They're stuck with it.
They are stuck with it. I just find it interesting that when a team decides to overpay a guy and the guy doesn't do, really, I don't think he was going to be phenomenal anyway, that all of a sudden the guy's the bum. Why I think Minnesota makes bad decisions.
Agreed.
Yeah. Okay? But guys, that's the bigger question.
Guys get cut. Richard Sherman's here on the San Francisco 49ers. He got cut.
Right.
Why? Because they felt that he wasn't worth the money that he was getting paid.
Right.
You look at the guys on the San Francisco 49ers. You look at the receiver that they paid all this money to, and they're like, is he going to step up and play? They're not even playing him. Why? Because they said, we're going to play younger guys. And they brought him in for his leadership. Going to get cut. You look at Reuben Foster. You look at the different things. Yeah, he had some issues. But look at his productivity on the field. He was no longer, they said, look, this guy, we don't want anything to do with him. Yeah, he had some problems on the field, but you watch this guy missing tackles. They're like, people put up with certain amount of things. If you're performing at a high level, they'll look beyond and they'll say, we're going to work and they'll try to help. After a certain while, they're like, I'm moving on. You look at the Niners, you look at certain things that happen, you look at players, you look at them, what's going on Armstead? Certain things are happening. Hey, he's a first-round talent, but is he playing like that? You look at the other guys, you say, John Lynch, Solomon Thomas, he drafted him, and is he achieving, is he underachieving? You look at that. Is he underachieving? Yes, you know that, Coase. So Solomon Thomas, no different. People saying, is this guy, should he be drafted there? Is he going to be a good player? The guy's going to be average player. We talked about playing 10 years. But is it merit him to be drafted that high? Right now, the verdict, the jury is still out on so many guys that got drafted high that are getting paid. And they're saying, I don't know if we're going to keep these guys on the team. That's just the cost of doing business. And they have underachieved, or they wasn't worth the status that they were drafted at, and people move on.
Fair enough. 95.7 The Game, Joe Lowe and Dibs. When someone asks a question on a game show and they get the question wrong, what sound do you hear?
Usually,
that's
along
the
that.
Sound we're going to have to give Kevin Maestas because his time is up. 9 minutes and 57 seconds.
Usually, throw the bull track in too, just to drive the point home. He would have had a 25% chance of winning a trip for four to Hawaii. All he had to do is listen and call in. You know what? He's not my Estes anymore. He's your Estes.
No, no, he's not my Estes.
No,
I'm
yours.
Not staking claim. In fact, I think his buddies are even bad, too. I don't even want to be hanging with his buddies. Don't you think Kevin Maestas' buddies would have been calling him saying, hey, Kevin, you should have called?
Maybe he didn't have any friends.
Now they're sticking it to him.
Oh, wow.
Now you've gone across, the bow. Now you've shot across poor Kevin's bow.
Yeah.
Well, with all the billions of listeners, don't you think, wouldn't they have
maybe
called?
He was at a payphone that didn't work, and he was unable to get it to operate.
He didn't have a quarter.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? We're going to give someone else an opportunity.
Okay.
Are you ready?
So great. Are you ready?
You
want the music or the drum?
The Hawaiian music? Steven doesn't know what he's doing.
He's sleeping.
Steven Barbosa from Castro Valley. That is the worst Hawaiian music in the history of Hawaiian music. And there's some bad Hawaiian music out there.
Wow.
What is it, the Christmas one? Mele Kalikimaka?
Mele Kalikimaka. Yeah. How about that? It's the holiday season.
Right.
Steven Barbosa from Castro Valley. You now have 9 minutes and 57 seconds to call us on the contest line. 415-402-6865. Area code 415-402-6865. If you don't call back, we might or we might not pick another name, because I'm getting pretty fed up with people not calling back.
We actually won't, Jim.
The end.
But yeah, for today.
Steven Barbosa, Castro Valley.
Nice guy, Steven Barbosa.
By the way, not a bad stop on the BART line, Castro Valley. It's a good stop.
It's a good town, Jim.
It is a good town.
Good town.
I know. I go there for my shave ice.
Yeah,
you stop there?
Everything but a quality bar in Castro Valley.
No drinking in Castro? It's a dry
town? Really, yeah, pretty much. Dry town.
It's a dry town.
It's dry
town. A couple little spots.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Such as?
I'm trying to remember the name. The Crayons? I can't remember. It's been a little while. I have two kids at home. I have a one-year-old. It's been a little while.
So basically, you come in with a couple spots, and I ask you to just maybe name a spot, a singular spot, as we channel in our inner Fortenbaugh, and you come up empty.
Yeah.
Good. Okay. I know.
I just wanted to recap that minute in Joe Lo and Dib's history.
Hey,
Is that going to be on best of?
It's going to be on our best of. You'll listen to that exchange in about 3 weeks when we mail it in.
Thank you, Dibs.
You're welcome, Joe.
Chilton Auto Body text line. Good question. Who's the bigger bum, Blake Bortles or Kirk Cousins? You almost had a spit take right there.
Yeah, he did. It's Bortles. Bortles is a bigger bum, but... You know, the organization's in a better position to move off of Bortles at the end of this year, whereas Minnesota, you're on the hook. What are you going to pay him, $56 million to go away?
Hey, no, you got to keep him now. And they're stuck with... Put Andrew Luck on that team. Where's Minnesota, in your opinion?
Wow, probably two more wins.
At least, thank you. You know it, and I know it. Hey, the guy is... Last night, they have Andrew Luck. They win that game walking away.
We're on to Cincinnati. Ready?
We're on to Cincinnati.
All right, here, I want to get into the Warriors.
Let's get into them.
Because something came up the other day from my good friend Screamin' A. Smith. Did you see this hot take? His sources are telling him that Kevin Durant could be in play for a team in Los Angeles. And Kevin Durant, who's a free agent, can go anywhere he wants to go. And he's already shown that he's got the stones to leave a town that loves him. That the team in L.A. that could very well be the landing spot for Kevin Durant is not the Lakers. Not your guy. LeBron's Lakers, but it's the Los Angeles Clippers.
Of course. And guess what?
What?
It's very simple.
Yes.
When a guy left here, I stated that. Go listen to the tape. I said, once he left, and who am I talking about?
I miss Joe.
You miss Joe? But I told
so let me get this right.
Look at this. And I said, the logo, Jerry West, he was here.
That's
Jerry
my
West
argument.
I said, Jerry West knows how to talk to guys. He has gravitas. Here's a guy, Jerry West, that left here and went to the Clippers. So you don't think Jerry West can pick up the phone and have that type of, for him? There's other guys that he has that type of gravitas he can talk to, and guys are going to say, yes, I'll talk to you. So does it surprise me? No.
Let me up the ante.
Wouldn't surprise me at all.
Let me up the ante.
What?
Everyone is talking about Kevin Durant. A lot of these guys
want to have
bigger careers outside of basketball, and there's no better place than doing it in the Silicon Valley. Because here's where all the connections are, and this is where...
Lacob can get you there and do it.
Wait,
I keep hearing that. Joe says that. You guys all say that. There's connections everywhere. It's not just here. Get out of here with just here.
Well, that speaks to the point of, is there any bigger connective tissue to the technology field than Steve Ballmer, the owner of the LA Clippers? Mm. Now, if you're the richest owner in the NBA, which he is by far, why not go for the twofer? Why not say, yeah, I think I'm big enough to steal their best player, Kevin Durant, and I think I'm big enough to steal one of his current teammates, Klay Thompson.
And then
they're going to have the money.
Yeah, they sure are. To which I have to cue up the bong rip sound.
Why?
Because Klay Thompson has made it unbelievably clear that he doesn't want to go elsewhere. So I think that your pie in the sky idea is nice when maybe you're hitting that hippie lettuce. But Clay's already said that he's going to stay. And your Kevin Durant to the Clippers notion. It's just that a notion. We'll see when free agency comes what he decides to do. I don't see that myself.
Using your reasoning that Klay says he doesn't want to go anywhere, which of course is now. That's not when he's a free agent,
sure.
And people are rap tap tapping
and
on his door.
And he said it more than one time, though. It's not like he said it as a one off.
With your reasoning, with KD not saying that he wants to be here, we should then infer that he is gone. That's
KD?
A foregone. Yes, that's a foregone conclusion.
No, I don't believe so, James. Because I believe
why
the
not?
Warriors because the Warriors can give him more money than any other team. And I don't know all of the contract minutia as well as you, but I believe that the Warriors own his bird rights, and thus they can give him the most possible money that any other team can give him. So from my sense of it, that would be a giant motivator for Kevin Durant. Also, I do think so. I do think so.
Because I think he's more than just about money.
I know he's more than just about money. He's also about winning, which you've got winning here. And you've got the opportunity to get more money here. And for me, if Kevin Durant's going to go anywhere, it's not going to be to L.A. to be second banana to LeBron James. And the Clippers will always be second banana in that town.
Not unless when you win championships.
How many championships have the Clippers won?
None.
How many playoff series have they won?
When they were the Buffalo Braves, though, they were pretty darn good.
Yeah, I don't remember those days, Jim.
I do
remember the San Diego Clippers with Michael Cage.
I do remember them as well.
San Diego State.
I do remember them as well when they also had Bill Walton on the team. Remember when he played for the San Diego Clippers?
That's right.
And who was the center? Sven Nader.
Nader.
Yes, remember the great Sven Nader?
Who eventually went to the Lakers and won a championship backing up Kareem Abdul.
Used to back up, I think he backed up Bill Walton at UCLA for 4 years.
You are listening to 1970s basketball talk here with Kozlow and Dibs.
I know, exactly.
But don't you think the Clippers have cleaned up, they got rid of a lot of guys, top-end guys, guys that are expensive. And they're making this team younger.
They are.
Don't you think they're waiting for a superstar? I mean, just be honest. I mean, let's not.
Sure, that's okay. Great. But the point I was making is that as a brand, they are second tier. They're a second tier brand.
But
they always will be in L.A.
But weren't the
unless
Warriors,
they attained dynasty status?
Okay, weren't the Warriors?
But the
second tier brand.
Yeah, absolutely. But in this market, they're the only brand.
But you
don't thank him.
No, I have to thank him because he's right. And you got to acknowledge that. You can't just say things and then when Jim says something that's right, you got to acknowledge that he's correct.
Absolutely. Look, but I'm talking about one market. LA has two teams.
I know, but
you know that,
State,
right?
I do.
They even share the same building for crying out
Daniel,
loud.
Daniel, I know that. But what he's making the point is, you look at Golden State, they were an afterthought. No one even thought about Golden State. And now all of a sudden, there's so many Golden State Warrior fans. If Curry comes and everyone's fans, which is great. I have no problems with that. But KD, is he a second-tier player? No. He's a top-tier player. So if he goes to L.A., and if he's a Clipper, and if you see what the logo's doing, he cleared out the cap, got rid of Jordan, got rid of Chris Paul, got rid of all those superstars, and got young players that are playing and holding it down. They're waiting for a leader. The Lakers did the same thing. They cleared it out. They got in young players and brought in a superstar. So now if you look at KD, if he goes there and he can turn that place around, they are going to be a playoff team.
Well, not only that, that does something for your cachet, your resume. It does something for your legacy. To do something like to turn the Clippers and make them significant certainly would do something for that. But the end game is, no matter where he goes, if he goes, he's going to have to get past the Golden State Warriors. And last night we got an opportunity to see what the Golden State Warriors really look like. And we haven't seen it for a while because they've had injuries throughout the year. Steph missed some time. Draymond missed some time. For one of the few times last night, we got to see virtually everyone together, although Andre Iguodala missed some time last evening. But the Warriors come out with a 13-0 run to start the game against the Minnesota Timberwolves. Here's Steve Kerr afterwards on the return of Draymond Green.
Nothing he does surprises me, I guess I could say that. Even on a night when he gets off to a slow start, he always finds a way.
to see if we've seen Draymond play like this before, but how did you see him fight over the condition and just the fact that he's been out for a while?
I thought he looked really good. We kept him under 30 minutes. The initial force that he played with early in the game, you could feel, you know, the pace that he set and the tone that he set. And so I thought Draymond really played a good game and was it was a great positive first step back for him.
All right, that's Steve Kerr, and you watch what the Warriors do with Draymond Green on the floor and the way they space even better. If you had to, I wonder what people would say on the Chilton Autobody text line at 95795 or even on the phones at 888-957-9570. If you had to list the importance of Warriors to them playing their best version of basketball, who's the most important? Who's the next most important? Who's the next most important? Who's the next most important? I can make a case that Draymond Green is the engine that makes everything go, as great as everyone else is individually. That's how good I think. That's the difference maker I think Draymond is on this team, on both ends of the floor, Lo. Both ends of the floor.
I look at Draymond Green, when I think of art and craft, you think of the puzzles, he's the glue. He's the glue that holds the wings, the tail, everything together. He's the nuts and the bolts that hold the GMC or the Ford or the car. He's those nuts and bolts that hold them together.
Here we go.
He's not the engine. He's not the pretty dash and the pretty hood and all those flashing. But he's
those, not the rims? No, he's not the rims?
He's those things that you can't see. See, the eyes visualize things and say, God, I love that. You see a beautiful woman, you look at the eyes and you say, man, when David saw Bathsheba, he saw a beautiful way. He said, look at the woman. You saw. He is not that. That's Steph Curry. That's KD. That's Klay Thompson. There are the visuals that you love to look at, that
the
eyes love to behold. They're sexy. But who's holding those parts together? There's got to be a screw, but there's got to be a bolt and nut, you know, that the bolt tightens up on the screw and holds it together. That's what Draymond is. So I do agree with you on that part. He's not the sexy thing that the eyes see, but he is that integral part behind it that holding it all together. So, yes, Draymond holds that value, in my opinion.
Joe could come bursting through that door after listening to that.
Oh, no, I was on.
He's going to put this thing back on the rails.
Whoa. You asked me. And
I know.
Tell me that wasn't a profound answer.
Well, you went to arts and crafts, and then you shifted quickly into a car with bolts, and then we talked about a dashboard and Bathsheba. So I don't know if Joe wants to walk through that door and wade back into the mire that is this program.
Muck and mire.
The correct answer is Steph Curry is the most important player on the team because of the gravity. That's the new word all the beat writers are now using as it pertains to Steph Curry. The gravitational pull of Steph. He pulls the defense away from the basket because you have to respect him from 40 feet and in, and that creates an inordinate amount of space for everyone else. The second most important guy, in my opinion, is Kevin Durant, because he's a sniper and he's the most potent scorer in the game. You cannot guard him. He's going to get his buckets when he wants to get them. Your third guy would be then Draymond Green. Certainly defensively, and what Lowe said about arts and crafts and dashboards and Bathsheba, all that stuff somehow was true. I can't refute any of it. And sadly, I knew exactly what you were talking about, which speaks to how long I've been on this program.
That might be the scarier portion of
Super scary, because I knew he was going to Bathsheba. He had to. It made perfect sense, and Methuselah up in 10 minutes. Klay Thompson would then be fourth on the list, in my opinion.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I mean, Klay is also very important, but if you don't have Klay for a game and you have the other three, you have a greater chance to win than if one of the other pieces is out, in my opinion.
Draymond Green, for what he does, is just phenomenal in that he gets everyone involved. And I think you're going to have to live with moments like you saw in L.A. against the Clippers, where he does a little bit too much near the end of the ball game. And KD is going to be standing there with his palms up saying, hey, that's why I'm here. Give me the rock because I'm supposed to close.
But Dibs, I understand what you're saying about Steph. And didn't we say the same when I said Steph is the engine? He is the thing that drives it. So why would you do? I mean, understand where you think about where I was going. I'm trying to bring you back to where I'm at, back to my church and back to the pew, you know, back to the same pew. Because if you think about what I'm saying, yes, Steph is that engine. He is the driving force on this team. I get that.
I agree.
But you need motor mounts when you got the engine. You got to be able to have bolts to be able to put the engine on a motor mount and make sure it's mounted down for the engine going anywhere. Draymond is that.
He's that guy that you have to have lug. You have to have the lug nuts around the rim to hold the tires on. Draymond is that. The engine is Steph Curry. I'm no question. But I really believe that Draymond, what he brings, he is those nuts. He's that solid glue, a part of this team that gets guys involved, that does so many things on the defense. But it's the things that aren't sexy. We talk about they're building a new stadium, and we say, what is going to sell tickets? Who's the flashy? It's KD. It's Steph. It's Clay. Because people, when they hit the three, they go crazy and they jump. But it's the small things that Draymond does, Coles, that you alluded to. So I'm with you, Dibs. I believe that he is a driving force.
You know, you the car analogy, this is from the 925. On the car analogy, Clay is like a convertible roof. You don't always need it, but when the weather is bad, you okay? You nice. Staying with me? But when the weather is bad, it's there to keep it going.
Absolutely.
I like that analogy if you're going to stay with the cars. I could look at Steph Curry and say he could possibly be the regular season MVP of the league. I could look at Kevin Durant and say probably the MVP of the playoffs or the finals, right?
Twice.
But I could see that. I could see that happen. But I wonder if Draymond Green might be the most important warrior when it comes to keeping everything together and all the things that he can do. Defend all five positions, handle the ball. Like, I think he's like a little Magic Johnson out there, the way he handles the pill and distributes. And eventually he can score on his own, but that's not his number one thing. That's why I think he's the number one guy, because you have so many other scoring options. And as much as he dominates the ball at times, it's not for his own good. It's for other people's good. Phones we go. 888-957-9570. Let's stay in the city. Hit Robin. Robin.
Robin's about to crush Lowe, so this is good.
I know. I like this. Robin on the Most Valuable Warrior. How do you see it, Robin?
Well, how I see it is like this. No KD, no championship. No Curry, no championship. No Clay, no championship. No Dre, no championship. You cannot rank them. When some is missing from the whole, then it doesn't work, because that's how they're built, okay? And that's how I see it, okay? But I want to say something to Bonte, and I don't mean it disrespectfully, because I'm on...
Robin, this is not Bonte's program, so you're going to have to call back noon to 3 to speak with Bonte. I know that they'll be taking calls sometime in early March when Papa takes his spring vacation, so go ahead and... give us a call back then.
I'll tell Bonte and I are in a war right now. We were in a Twitter war yesterday.
What happened?
Evidently, he was unhappy with my deviated septum bomb that I threw at him yesterday.
Gotcha. He was very hurt. I saw him listen or heard him listening to it.
See, he and I might be coming to blows before it's all said and
did
done.
Did you feel as if you were being anatomically accurate talking about his septum that?
I also have a deviated septum.
Well,
I speak
you're saying
from
also
experience.
Now because you're saying that he has one.
I do believe he does have one.
Don't be afraid.
I said it. He's got a deviated septum.
Don't back up. That's all.
Wow. Does he have a cleft palate too? I mean, Jim. Does he have an ingrown toenail? I mean, what else do we need to know about the man? It's risky, all I'm saying.
Steph Curry typical Steph Curry night last night. What is the matter with you over there?
That's not me.
Here at the Chuckle Hut.
I enjoy listening to the callers and let them talk about the car analogy and see if how far off.
I also enjoy the callers, but if we're talking about Most Valuable Warrior,
yes.
You can't come in and say basically it's a four-way tie. That doesn't serve our purpose.
That's
and then
true.
To shift into midday material and try and take swipes at Bonte. Now you're stealing from Cozumel. That's his lane, apparently.
That means you're stealing twice. If you're stealing from me, you're stealing twice.
That's right.
Give me some Steve Kerr on the guy who could very well be the MVP of the regular season in the NBA for the way this guy, even though he missed time, the way he comes back seamlessly. It's boom, right back on top. Here's Steve Kerr on Steph Curry.
Yeah, anything's possible with him. It's just... the shots he takes are so difficult, you know, off the dribble, and as you said, the volume. And then he also takes the half-court shots at the end of the quarter. So 50% would be one of the great stats of all time if he could pull that off. But, you know, it's early and a lot of games, so we'll see. But he's been lights out all year.
Hey, this is from the 408.
So you were laughing at the text mid-cut. You weren't laughing at what Steve Kerr was saying?
I missed that.
Okay.
I
he was talking about shooting 50% from three, which if he shoots 50% from three-point range, he has a chance to win the MVP. Because Steve Kerr shot more than 50% from the three-point line, but he only took, I believe, about 200 threes that year, even less than 200 threes. Steph is on pace to make over 300 threes.
Wow.
If he goes 325 for 650 from three-point land, he has a chance to win the MVP.
Why do some people not like the three ball? So I'm hearing Greg Popovich say it's ruining the game. Isn't it the second most exciting play in the game aside from the dunk?
I don't know, Jim. I think from excitement, sure, it's very exciting. But what Popovich and some of the old heads are taking offense with is that it's taken a lot of the nuance out of the game, such as the low post game. You don't see the ball go down low and a player back to the basket,
dribble
make
it
a
down
move
for
and try
15,
to score.
16 seconds.
Well, I'm not saying those old days of the 90s where it was throw it to Zoe and watch Zoe just pound it, pound it, pound it, and then eventually score. I was thinking more of the days of like Kareem, you know, when we were kids, where you'd get it to Kareem and he had a sky hook, or he'd go left, or he'd turn face and step back. So I think the three-point shot, the reliance on it has taken some of the nuance out of the game.
All right, let's get back to the phones at 888-957-9570. Julian is in the city. Julian, you have an interesting question about Draymond Green on this one. How do you see it? Is Draymond the piece, or is Draymond a removable piece or replaceable piece? How do you see it, Julian?
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me. I feel like he is the heart of the team, you know, and he carries that passion for the team and keeps it going. But if someone else was put in that position at the age that Draymond was and developed him in the same way, I feel like a lot of different players could fill that role, you know?
Really? Do you think that'd be an easy role to fill for the way Draymond Green handles the ball and gets everyone else involved?
It felt like he was kind of like made for it, though, you know? Like, if, you know what I'm saying, though? You know what I'm saying? Like, somebody could have put him in, or someone could have developed him the same way. Just Draymond happened to be in that position when he got drafted.
Mm. See,
Julian.
I see his point, but here's why I disagree, and I beg to differ. A lot of guys don't understand their role, and he's saying you put someone in that position, will they do it? A lot of guys won't do it. Draymond knows who he is, and that's what's so unique. When I played in the National Football League, I understood what I had to do. It wasn't to get out and start catching passes and try to become some guy that we already had so many guys that could already do those flashy things. I knew that I was to go in there and go knock heads off. It was to go in there and do the dirty work. It was to go in there and lead block and hit a guy so hard that he would say, please don't do that no more. You want my cornbread? Draymond's job is to go in there and take guys' heart, out-rebound them, tap balls out, make teams get frustrated, get in guys' face, be that defender. And it looks so easy because when we're talking about nuts and screws, you can go to the store and get a bolt and tighten it down and do those things. But is it always the right one? And that's to Draymond understand that he's got to hold it together. He knows he's not going out there to score. He does all the dirty work. He's going to be laying on the ground. He was like Dennis Rodman, but he can pass. He can do a lot of other things that Dennis couldn't do. And that's what gives guys the second and third shot opportunities. But he understands his role. So it's hard to get someone to want to fill that role and do it with consistency. That's why I look at this guy as a glue, as a screw, as those nuts, because he's he plays a very integral part of the success of this team.
To the phones, Matt in Pittsburgh. He's got a good automobile reference here. I like this. Matthew, welcome into the program. Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. How do you see this Warrior makeup? What are they like?
Well, I'm going to touch up on Lo'Neal's analogy. I definitely think Curry's the engine. I think KD would be the sound system. Drawing all the attention. I think that
I like it.
I think Klay Thompson would be the AC cooling everybody off. And I was gonna say that Draymond is the gas pedal, but I think he actually might be the steering wheel that helps drive and keep it on course. And then I think Coach Kerr is the brakes. Whenever they need to hit the brakes, that's Coach Kerr right there for you.
What's Andre Iguodala? Is he the spare? Is he the spare tire? Is he the someone goes down, you go to the spare?
Yeah, but no, I think Andre might be the headlights.
I like it.
Showing the light in the dark.
Thank you, Matt. We appreciate it.
Jonas Jerebko is AAA. He'll bail you out when you get into a tight spot.
I like that. No, he is.
If you like it, then I know it's got to be way out of bounds.
I know. I think you're right on.
Right on.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 KGMZ San Francisco.
I'm enjoying
this radio
coast.
Home of the Golden State Warriors. Well, you've stumbled onto something where everyone seems to want to go to a different automobile park.
Let's do this.
No, it's genius is what it is. It's just another example of Lowe finding a nugget. And it's like, you know, needle in the haystack. Lowe's going to find it.
And he did. And
he sure did.
Well, five lines doesn't lie.
Let's go do it.
888-957-9570.
We got a full board of calls here, Jim. Let's get out of the people.
Renegade is out in Oakland. Who's the most valuable Warrior? I think Draymond Green is going to be my guy as the most valuable Warrior. Renegade, who do you like?
I understand that, but this was Renegade's phone call. First of all, Renegade's going to say Draymond Green's like a 5.7 liter, 390 horsepower multi-displacement Hemi engine on a Dodge truck. Gets the job done, but ugly as hell. Now, KD is the most valuable Warrior by far, bar none. He can take the game over. He, you know, so can Curry, so can Clay in spots. But if it's down to the last second, got one man left to take the shot for the Warriors this year, it's KD. Now, in the past, KD couldn't do it. And I love this team in its present configuration, and I happen to drive a Ram truck. So nothing against Draymond, but it's got to be KD. Though in life, I'm probably the straw that starts to drink. Renegade's more like Draymond, but damn, I'd love to be sexy like Durant. And Renegade, appreciate your time.
Hey, Renegade, tell me what kind of old Dodge Ram you drive. I think Dodge Ram 2500. What you got
there? I think three third-person references from Renegade, and he's out. I think we're good.
I like the old Renegade.
That's great. It's a great call from Oakley. And then I'm not sure if that particular type of vehicle is a sponsor or not.
Okay.
So I don't think we need to go any further down that particular road.
All right. I understand.
You got a little Southern on me there.
Lowe was going to go there, so I was going to try to.
South Fresno?
I was going to try to match it. You know, if Lowe goes preacher, then I'll go preacher. Lowe sometimes will go like Valley Girl, and I'll go Valley Girl. It just depends, cuz. And, you know, it depends on the show and, you know, the mood. Whatever strikes him, you know?
Robert in San Francisco will not be the worst call on this show, I promise you. Robert, you're next. I've got Draymond. Other people have KD. Who do you have, Robert?
I'm going to go Steph, Draymond, and then I'm going to go Clay.
Wow.
Simple fact is they lost one without Draymond. They won without KD. And number three, Clay actually guards. He has dual responsibility. He's a two-way player. He has to guard the best player on the team. So he has more responsibility. I mean, Durant, they won without Durant. So I'm not going to put him first. He's just the turbocharge. He's just the extra. He's the extra accessories that you put on something that's already going.
I like it.
It's a great call, Robert.
Thank you, Robert.
It's that the turbocharge, because he's right. They already won a title without him, and they would have won two had Draymond been able to comport himself at particular instances a little bit better. So I agree with the determination that it's not KD.
Wait a minute. Can I just point this out?
Point it out, Jimmy.
You get Draymond back. They beat up Minnesota. We're talking about maybe they win 14 games in a row. Wasn't it just 2 weeks ago that we were saying, hey, Draymond's the guy that was calling out KD and saying, you're making it all about you. And tell us, are you going to stay or are you?